27 to 38. Some Sadducees who deny that there's a resurrection came to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a widow with no children, the brother must marry the widow and raise up children from his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first man married a woman and then died childless. The second and then third brother married her. Eventually, all seven married her, and they all died without leaving any children. Finally, the woman died too. In the resurrection, those whose wife will she be? All seven were married to her." Jesus said to them, "People who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to participate in that age, that is, the age of the resurrection from the dead, won't marry, nor will they be given in marriage. They can no longer die, because they are like angels and are God's children, since they share in the resurrection. Even Moses demonstrated that the dead are raised. In the passage about the burning bush, when he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, he isn't the God of the dead, but of the living. To him, they are all alive." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. God, we thank you for your word that has been heard this morning. May your word fill us up. May it guide us, convict us, and draw us closer to you. May the words that I speak be your words for your people. You've probably heard in the news recently of the whole situation, I guess I'd call it, or the conflict in the classic Christmas song of "Baby, It's Cold Outside." Maybe you've heard that, that they have kind of given it a makeover, changed the words a little bit, because for some, the words that were in the original song could be harmful. Many of us, you might have different opinions. Maybe you're on the side of that, and you're like, "Yeah, you know, I never thought of it that way before." But the words are not very positive in this song. Or maybe you're on the opposite side and you're like, "You know what, I really love that song and I don't see the big deal." If you're like me, I like to give the benefit of the doubt of both sides. I understand the conflict in it, and I'm cool with songs getting changed. That happens all the time. That's art. Words change, these things happen, it moves, it breathes, based on the culture that we live in. At the time, it wasn't a big deal. But maybe today it is. Maybe the message is not a positive one. Whatever side you're on, you're like, "It's not a big deal, I don't get it," or, "Yeah, maybe they should change it." The point this morning is that we all have justice issues that we feel strongly about, and we try to work to care for, and sometimes maybe we do go a little overboard. Sometimes maybe what we thought we were doing a good thing can cause some harm. And maybe in this situation, maybe it is a little extreme. But on the opposite side of that, if you think of somebody who maybe was in a situation such as a date rape, which is what the conflict of the song, in which they were told, "No, don't leave," even though they said, "I need to go home," it might be a triggering song for them. So we have to give them the benefit of doubt. And then on the opposite side of that, I don't understand why we are so concerned with eliminating, right, a song. We had this conversation earlier this week in Bible study of trying to ban books from a library. It's the same idea. Why would we ban songs when that's art? Again, it's meant to make you think. It's meant to make you feel. So we have the option to turn the channel. So in all of that conflict, whatever side you find yourself in this morning, if you're cool with it, if you're upset, if you're like, "This is just crazy. Why are we even putting this on the news?" The point of this passage is I find that there are two things happening here for Jesus. One, it is, again, a justice issue going on in this story. And two, the resurrected life in the day to come is not in which we expect it to be. It's not as we humans understand life or understand relationships. Jesus seems to be saying it's different than that. It's more than that. It's more wonderful than we could ever understand. And so we're going to begin with this look at the justice issue happening here in this passage. You have the Sadducees. And for once, it's a wonderful, I love this. Maybe you didn't catch it or find joy in it, but Pharisees are always have a bad rap in Scripture. But the Pharisees and Jesus actually get along in this passage. They believe in the resurrection, so they're like, great, go Jesus for once, right? They're agreeing with him. It's the Sadducees who said, no, there's no resurrection. And they believed, right, you just live life the way it is, then you die, and that's the end of it. So they were trying to trick Jesus. And they come up with this scenario. And let's be honest, maybe this scenario is a little bit of an exaggeration, because what is the possibility that seven brothers would marry the same wife and that they would all die and she would not have a child with them? That's a lot of brothers. It seems kind of like they were trying to prove a point to Jesus that the resurrection is a ridiculous understanding. That's what they wanted to prove. They wanted Jesus to agree, yeah, this whole idea is crazy. But that's not what happens. In fact, they continue in their story, and there's a key phrase in there. They said, when they all die, and the woman dies, whose wife will she be? Whose wife will she be? Because in the culture of the time, a woman did not have her own right. She belonged to her father until she was old enough to marry. Then she belonged to her husband's family. That's just the way it was. I'm not saying anything against it. That was the time in which Scripture was written. That's what took place. Levite law says that because of women not being able to work or to have jobs like that, they were protected by the men in their families. So the reason for this would be if her husband died and there was no heir, then instead of leaving her abandoned as a widow, the next brother in line would marry his older brother's wife to try and, one, keep it into the family to have an heir for the family, and two, to protect her from the world and all of the harshness of it, since she was not able to defend herself. So a lot of what the Sadducees were saying, that was the culture. That was their understanding of how to protect women. On the other side of that, women were not considered equal. They were considered less. They were considered needing protecting. They couldn't go and get a job for themselves. And they belonged to other people. They were not their own individual. You were so-and-so's wife. You were so-and-so's daughter. That's kind of how things work. And so the justice issue in this passage is the justice part. First, because widows and orphans couldn't take care of themselves, and there were widows and there were orphans. And the other justice part of it is that people were not seen as individuals. You were associated by your family lineage, who you belong to. You weren't associated with the fact that you were an individual who was loved by God, whether female or male. That was not part of the culture of the time. And the justice issue for us then today is very similar. We would say, well, she doesn't belong to any of them. Maybe she was married to one of them, but she is not owned by those spouses. She is her own individual person. And on the other side of that, I feel bad even for the men in the story, because they were just forced to marry her. They didn't love her or really anything like that either. For them, they were following Levite law, and it was part of what they were told to do. So both in this situation are stuck in an injustice of a world and in the culture that they live in, and they had to face that because they were trying to follow the law, which was meant for good. But that meaning for good caused, in some ways, more harm than it was helpful. And that's kind of why I started off with that story. Sometimes we try to do justice, and it causes more harm than good when you go to the extreme. Another example of the extreme would be feminism. I would say I'm a feminist, but that word makes people shudder. They don't like the word anymore because it started off as a wonderful movement, but then some people went a little far, and now people hear it and they think, oh, it's those crazy women who only want, you know, to be equal to men. I'm not exaggerating. That's kind of how that title has come. If you ask people who are like, oh, those feminists, right? They're afraid of it. But if you think of the history, it was a wonderful thing. It was women saying, you know, we just want to be looked at as a human being, not belonging to anybody, but as an individual, just as equal to men. And then they took it a step farther and they said, not only do we want freedom and equality, we want men to have equality too, right? It's both sides. We want men and women, all people, to be seen and valued the same way. So it wasn't just about women. It started that way, but it grew to say, you know what? Everybody. everybody needs equality. It was a beautiful concept. And part of this feminist movement continued. So in the United Methodist Church, I don't know if any of you know this, not only did I have family leave, right, maternity leave, if I was male, I would have still had family leave and maternity leave, because in the United Methodist Church, both male or female, it doesn't matter, both parents, they believe, you know, should have family time with the child to be together for those first moments of when a baby enters into the family. And there's a sense in which it's equality for both. It's not just women getting rights, but feminism began as saying, you know what, all people should have equal rights. So as men, you really should be like, yes, I'm all for feminism, right? Because you're saying, I want to be equal to women. I agree with women being equal to me. We together should be in a system of just, where no one belongs to or owned by another human, but we are all children of God. And that's kind of an issue that is being dealt with here in this passage, in little ways in which Jesus doesn't agree with the Sadducees. He really doesn't say a whole lot on it, but he does say, your understanding of life here on earth is different than what it will be in the resurrection. People will not be given in marriage or be married. In fact, everybody will become a child of God like the angels. That's the second point I wanted to address this morning, is the Sadducees are trying to trip him up, saying this ridiculous story of the resurrection, and Jesus, he says, it's not the way you understand it to be. Heaven is different than that. It's more beyond our human understanding of relationships and love. It's a joy beyond that, because all will be in heaven with God as one family. And for some of us, we hear this passage, and maybe you're struggling. You're like, I was really hoping that when I died and I went to heaven, I would see my loved one, the one who I miss so much each and every day, and there was hope in that, hope that I would see them. And Jesus doesn't say you will not see your loved one. In fact, he doesn't address that topic. He doesn't say yes or no, you're going to see your loved one again. He just says the conception of marriage is different. It won't be there. You might see your loved one, and you might all rejoice again in heaven, and it will be a wonderful reunion. But Jesus isn't concerned about that essential, specific part. He's saying everybody who is in the resurrected life in heaven are equal. They are like the angels. They belong to God as beloved children, breaking down any barriers of injustice that we understand here on earth. We only understand things in human terms, human relationships, because how can we know beyond that, right? We're humans. That's how we think, and that's how we breathe and understand things. But Jesus is saying, yes, you understand things, and that's the way it is in a world full of sin and injustice, but in the resurrection, Christ came to change that, to break down injustices, to give us hope, to let us be the creatures we were originally meant to be, and that is beloved children of God. Like it was in the Garden of Eden before the fall of Adam and Eve. The Adam and Eve were like in the garden talking to God. I don't know if you've read in that passage, it says that God was, you know, walking in the garden with them and they were in conversation. It's beautiful. That's how it was meant to be, this beautiful relationship between humans and God. And that's how the resurrection is. So what does that mean for us? It doesn't mean that we don't have hope in the end, we won't see our loved one. It just means that the understanding of it is so beyond us, that it's so wonderful and beautiful. It should give us hope, knowing that the injustices we see around us today are not going to last. If you are a person who's walking down the street and oftentimes you feel alone because people see you and they snicker and they comment because life has been so horrible and such a struggle to you, this passage should give you hope. This passage allows you to say, you know what? It's horrible now, and I get that, and I wish it was better than this, but I'm not going to give up because I know it was not the way God created it to be. That God created it me to be just as loved and cherished as everybody else. And that's the beautifulness in this passage here, is Jesus is saying, yes, there's injustices. Yes, we understand stuff in human terms, but in the resurrection, all of that changes. No longer are we fighting and struggling for injustice. We become equally loved by God. And what does that mean for us as well is that we don't stop fighting injustices. We continue to work to bring light and hope to those who feel there is no hope. We continue to struggle and say, you know what, I'm going to do all that I can to show love to one another. But we also don't lose hope ourselves in doing that. we say, you know what, I'm working because God loves me and I love others because of that light of Christ, and it seems like an endless task. It's never ending. There's justice. There's always poor people. There's always homeless. There's always people who are racist and mean and cruel to one another. And yet I don't give up because I know that beyond this world, there is hope and that there is an equality of love that is beyond our understanding, not in human terms. And it gives us hope to keep fighting for justice. But it also lets us know to bring ourselves down and to look at all sides and say, you know, what is the most good? What is the most loving I can be? How can I help care for people in all ways, in all forms? And then also remind us, how can I be that light that reflects a God who says all are equally beloved children, welcomed together in heaven, rejoicing and singing and laying ourselves down at the feet of Christ? It is a passage of hope. Jesus did not let the Sadducees trip him up. He says, your whole scenario is beyond the point. The point is that resurrection is different than it would be on earth. And we hope and wish that. Because none of us want to go to heaven and be in the same mess that we are here on earth. So the good news in this is Jesus is saying, yeah, you understand things that way, but it's beyond that. It's better than that. It's more richer. It's the way it was meant and created to be in the beginning. And that's what gives us joy when we are working to bring hope to others, when we ourselves feel as if there is no hope. We trust in the words of Jesus that says, God is a God of the living and not of the dead. God is living in your heart. God is bringing you hope, peace, and calling you to do the same for others. Let us pray. God, we struggle to understand anything beyond human understanding. We don't know what it will be like, but we rejoice in your words that you have given us, that it is so much better than here on earth. And not only that, that we are not to stop living here, but we are to live fully into what it means to be a resurrected people, a people that brings justice, brings love, and brings hope to others, and know ourselves that there is hope, that there is joy. And help us to live that way every day, knowing that you are with us. You are a God who is with the living. Help us to have hope when we struggle to see light. Help us to be your hope and your light in the world. Amen.